Good morning, everyone. I am Jane Young, and I'm the Deputy Attorney General here in New Hampshire. Thank you for traveling to Concord for this briefing. Historically, we make these announcements in the community where the incident occurs, but because of the challenges that we all still face with the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, we thought that this was a more appropriate environment. Individuals could be spaced out. You could still see a live presentation. And for those who are more comfortable calling in, there is that option as well. So as these go, Attorney Peter Hinckley will provide you the facts and the details of the investigation. We will take questions afterwards from those of you who are with us today and anyone on the phone. The Attorney General's Office has the responsibility to ensure that law enforcement officers, when they use deadly force, that force is done in conformity with the law. The review of an officer-involved deadly force incident is a criminal investigation, and our role is limited to determine whether the officer or officers involved who employed deadly force conformed with the law. In the case of the present matter, Thornton Police Officer Yao, on October 19, 2020, fatally shot Mr. Freeman. The investigation ensued with state police and members of the Attorney General's office. Based on the facts in the applicable law, we are here today to announce that Officer Yao's use of deadly force against Mr. Freeman was legally justified. Attorney Hinckley will take you through the facts in the investigation, the report, as well as the videos will be available on our website. And as I indicated, we will answer any and all questions that you have after. I thank you for traveling here, and I thank you for your patience as we do this a little differently than we have done it in the past.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I think I'm satisfied. I satisfy the protocols by taking my mask off, so I will. Again, I'm one of the prosecutors who was assigned to investigate the officer-involved shooting that occurred in Thornton, New Hampshire, on the afternoon of October 19th of 2020. And in that incident, Thornton Police Officer Matthew Yao shot and killed 37-year-old Ethan Freeman. And we're here to summarize the evidence gathered as a result of that investigation and to provide the Attorney General Office's conclusion as to the legality of the use of deadly force against Mr. Freeman by a member of law enforcement. Now, the evidence reviewed as part of the investigation includes contemporaneous video recordings of the incident from police body and vehicle cameras, as well as witness interviews, both law enforcement and private citizen, including interviews with Officer Yao, as well as the only other eyewitness to the fatal shooting, Mr. Freeman's landlord. This briefing, again, is a summary of the evidence gathered from that investigation. A full and detailed report has been prepared, and that report is available for review and download on the Attorney General's Office's website, which is www.doj.nh.gov. The videos that we will play and go over also will be available for viewing on the website. This caution will be repeated later. The videos are graphic in content as to what is said, and they depict Mr. Freeman's fatal shooting. Also in the videos, Mr. Freeman is naked. His genitals have been digitally obscured, and we also have obscured the faces of non-police officers that are seen in the videos. Those are the only alterations that have been done to those videos. This presentation will last about an hour, and as Attorney Young said, if you could please hold off any questions until the end of this presentation. Now, the encounter between Mr. Freeman and Officer Yao occurred at about 4:25 p.m. on October 19th of 2020 at a residence located in Thornton on a street called Four Wheel Drive. Mr. Freeman lived in a basement-level walkout apartment. His landlord, who was the homeowner, was the only other person who lived in the house. Mr. Freeman had lived at that residence for several years, and he and his landlord had a cordial relationship. According to the landlord, as well as Mr. Freeman's mother, Mr. Freeman suffered from mental illness. And among the manifestations of that mental illness were occasions in which Mr. Freeman would become delusional and paranoid, and he also could get highly agitated and hostile. In the days leading up to Mr. Freeman's shooting, the landlord noticed that Mr. Freeman had become increasingly paranoid. And on the morning of October 19th, Mr. Freeman and his landlord both were home. Early that morning, the landlord awoke to Mr. Freeman yelling that the landlord's dogs were outside and running loose. When the landlord went to investigate, he encountered Mr. Freeman. Mr. Freeman said that he did not recognize his landlord and demanded to know who he was. Mr. Freeman also was holding what the landlord described as a roasting fork and was threatening to stab the landlord with it. Later that same morning, the landlord saw Mr. Freeman yelling into the woods, claiming that he was being watched. The landlord did not see Mr. Freeman again until several hours later in the afternoon. Now, Officer Yao's first contact with Mr. Freeman on October 19th occurred at Thornton Central School at about 9:30 in the morning. And this would have been after Mr. Freeman's contacts with the landlord that I just described. Thornton Central School is the town's combined elementary and middle school. Mr. Freeman had entered the school lobby complaining of chest pains, and school officials had called 911. It is unknown why Mr. Freeman was at the school seeking assistance. Officer Yao went to the school in response to the 911 call, and there he encountered Mr. Freeman. Officer Yao had two prior contacts with Mr. Freeman, both of which occurred in the winter of 2020. Both of those prior encounters were non-confrontational, and neither of those encounters resulted in Mr. Freeman's arrest. Now, in the school lobby, Mr. Freeman continued to complain of chest pains and requested to be brought to the hospital. He was never hostile, and he was never aggressive. There was a school nurse with Mr. Freeman who told Officer Yao that Mr. Freeman may be on amphetamines. Officer Yao was wearing a police-issued body camera on October 19th. And that camera captured all of Officer Yao's interactions with Mr. Freeman, including what occurred at the school. And we're going to play that entire encounter now. It lasts about 5 minutes. At the beginning of the video, Mr. Freeman is seen laying on the floor inside the school lobby. The woman with Mr. Freeman in the lobby when Officer Yao enters is a school nurse.
Ethan, what's going on?
What's going on? I'm having a heart attack.
You're having a heart attack? What's going on, dude?
I'm having a heart attack.
Okay, what's the tone you're feeling?
I'm patient and I'm feeling like I've got a lot of heart pain.
Okay. All right, just stay still for me, okay?
Nope.
He has a history of it in his family, has no allergies.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, listen.
He may have some amphetamine.
Yep.
He's Hep C positive.
Okay. All right, Ethan, as you know, I wear a body camera, okay? Listen, I'm asking, is there any needles on you right now I need to know about? What is it? Okay. No needles this time? Okay.
Nothing.
All right. When's the last time that you used?
I used like 4 months ago.
Okay. Can you tell me about when did you wake up today?
I haven't been able to sleep for days.
Okay. When's the last time you slept?
It's been a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can keep your hand in your pocket for me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to pat you down, okay?
Yep.
Okay. Is this your tobacco?
Yep.
I'll put it in your backpack. I'll put a little stuff in your backpack, okay? Yep. Keep breathing, man. Stay relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on taking deep, slow breaths.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Exhale every time.
Yep.
All right. You're going to be okay. Ambulance is coming, all right?
Yep. All right. Hey, what's going on? I was just being really bad in my esophagus area.
Stay relaxed. Okay? You're not going anywhere until I get your pockets checked out, okay?
Alright.
Oh.
You have any influence
about
it?
Maybe, I'm not sure.
Okay. What do you think you might be on?
I don't know. I just need mental help and I need medical assistance.
Jack it off so they can get you in the stretcher and check your vitals, okay?
Yep.
Mr. Freeman was transported by ambulance to Speer Memorial Hospital in Plymouth. Officer Yao accompanied the ambulance in his patrol vehicle. Along the way, Mr. Freeman became agitated, necessitating a stop in which Officer Yao calmed him down. Now, at the hospital, upon leaving the ambulance, Mr. Freeman immediately ran for the hospital entrance. Officer Yao ran after Mr. Freeman and caught up to him at the entrance where Mr. Freeman had slipped and fallen. Again, Mr. Freeman was never belligerent, and he was never violent. Officer Yao's brief encounter with Mr. Freeman at the hospital also was captured on the police officer's body camera. And we'll play the entirety of that footage, which lasts about 2.5 minutes. Audio begins several seconds into this portion of video.
You're okay. You just ran.
ran like a mule.
I didn't run. I ran before.
Dude, I know you're freaking out, okay? I'm not mad at you for what I'm saying. That's a good sign, okay?
Yeah.
You're breathing. Look at you. Your heart's working, right?
Yeah, but...
Okay, so you remember coronavirus going on, right?
Yeah.
They have rules in the hospital. Keep everybody safe.
All right.
Before you can go inside, they have to talk to you.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, sir.
Stay calm.
I'm sorry.
We're here.
Okay, I'm just...
You're going to be okay. I know you're going to be okay. All right.
Can I be brought in the yard or right there where the...
Where we're going.
Okay. Yeah. Can you walk?
Yes, sir.
Are you going to run?
No.
All right. Be calm, okay?
Yeah.
You're all right.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. I don't have heart.
You're gonna behave for us. Stop the seat, Philip. We need you to relax. Okay. All right. Come with me. Come on. Ethan, I gotta go, okay?
Officer Yao left the hospital shortly after this recorded interaction with Mr. Freeman. Mr. Freeman ultimately refused treatment at the hospital and left. Mr. Freeman's landlord saw him back at their shared residence later that afternoon. Mr. Freeman was limping and one of his knees was swollen. His landlord asked what happened, but Mr. Freeman did not explain and went to his apartment. Soon thereafter, the landlord heard loud noises coming from Mr. Freeman's apartment, like items being smashed and glass being broken. Mr. Freeman also yelled to his landlord, who was in his area of the shared residence. And Mr. Freeman said that he had cut himself and was bleeding. And Mr. Freeman also said that he needed an ambulance. The landlord first called Mr. Freeman's mother. And after speaking with her for a period about Mr. Freeman, the landlord confirmed for Mr. Freeman that he wanted him to call an ambulance. The landlord then called 911. That call was placed about 6 hours after Mr. Freeman was taken to the hospital. Now, in that 911 call, Mr. Freeman's landlord reported in substance that Mr. Freeman said that he had cut himself and needed medical assistance. The landlord also relayed that he had heard loud banging noises coming from Mr. Freeman's apartment. The landlord said that he did not think that Mr. Freeman had any weapons. Police Officer Yao was on duty at the police station when that call for assistance came in. En route, Officer Yao requested backup from officers from neighboring police departments. Officer Yao was the first emergency responder to arrive at the residence. He proceeded alone around the house to where he believed Mr. Freeman lived. This is an overhead photograph of the residence. The red triangle, which is right here, that represents about where Officer Yao parked his police vehicle. The area circled in green, which is right here, is Mr. Freeman's basement walkout apartment. And the area circled in yellow is where Officer Yao walked to Mr. Freeman's apartment and where the fatal shooting ultimately occurred. Now, just like with Officer Yao's earlier encounters with Mr. Freeman at the school and at the hospital, the officer was wearing a full police uniform. His equipment included a taser, chemical spray, and a baton, as well as a pistol. Officer Yao also, again, was wearing his department-issued police body camera. And that body camera contemporaneously recorded by video and audio all events. We will first play the footage that depicts Officer Yao's arrival at the residence and his walk up to Mr. Freeman's basement-level apartment. The voice that you will hear in this portion of video is Police Officer Yao's voice, who identifies himself as from the police department and asks Mr. Freeman by name if he is okay. And this portion of video lasts about 30 seconds.
Ethan, it's Officer Yao. You okay?
Now, Mr. Freeman's walkout apartment is around the corner here to the left. The next footage that we'll play depicts the entire interaction between Officer Yao and Mr. Freeman up until the point of Mr. Freeman's fatal shooting. At the conclusion of this portion of video, we will replay it to discuss specific aspects of it. The two voices that you hear in this video are Officer Yao and Mr. Freeman. Mr. Freeman uses language that is coarse and vulgar. It has not been redacted. Now, before we play this video, the Attorney General's office received a request from one of Mr. Freeman's family members not to make this video public. I think it is fair to say that the video shows Mr. Freeman at his worst and does not reflect his normal mental state or behavior. And it also shows the moment when he was killed. The video's release may cause additional pain to those who knew Mr. Freeman and who are aware of the mental health issues that he suffered. And the Attorney General's office fully understands and sympathizes with the request made. But ultimately, this is a homicide investigation, and we are required to conduct an investigation that is full and fair and transparent. And with that, we will now play that video. The entire incident spans about 2.5 minutes. And again, the video is graphic in its content and depicts Mr. Freeman's fatal shooting.
It's Officer Yao. You okay? Ethan, what's going on? Ethan.
Suicidal? Yes.
Hey.
There's feces everywhere. I need you to call the cops, the paramedics, to get me a fucking rescue team right now.
Ethan, it's Officer Yao from Thornton Police.
Yes. Come in here and get me to the hospital.
What's going on?
I have a fucking asshole that's bleeding out like a chicken, and I have a goddamn fucking mouth that's full of feces, and I have a dick that's hard, that's not hard.
Do you have any weapons on you right now?
Yeah, let's go.
Hey, what do you got?
My dick in my hand. You got a problem with that bitch?
Hey, it's Officer Yao, dude. What's going on?
You're a cunt.
Hey, you know me.
Stop my fucking dick.
Hey, you know me, dude. What's going on?
You're a cunt.
Hey, Ethan? 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 Drop that.
Fuck you. I'm going to kill you.
Ethan?
Dick.
Ethan?
You come back around here, you're dick.
Ethan? Thornton 3, he is naked and threatening my life. Ethan?
Yeah,
I am the police. You know me.
3-6, copy that.
I just saw you this morning, dude.
It doesn't matter. I'm coming out there to kill you.
Well, why am I going
to
come to
the police
then?
Come back to
the police,
you fucking bitch.
Hey, man.
What's wrong with you? Fucking
hey! You don't hear me talking to you like that!
What's the road off 75 Mountain Laurel or
Ethan,
Mountain
Ethan! I am a cop!
I'm not okay!
Don't be like this, dude!
Woodland.
Hey!
Road.
I wanna help you!
What? I don't care what you want!
I wanna help you! Ethan, come on!
What was the update?
I did call the paramedics.
Then he is threatening.
Yeah.
PD.
But they're not going to come over here if you're being like this. Ethan? Ethan, stay in there. Ethan? Stay in there, Ethan. Ethan, stay back. Ethan, stay back. Stay back. Ethan, stay back. Ethan, stay back. Ethan. Shots fired!
Now, with the benefit of video that contemporaneously records events, we can actually see firsthand what happened as it quickly unfolded. And we can also pause that encounter in order to point out particular circumstances of relevance to the analysis of the lawfulness of Officer Yao's use of deadly force. Officer Yao did not have that same opportunity, that is, to pause events as they unfolded and take minutes to analyze what was happening. He had to make his decision in seconds. And we will first return to the point when Officer Yao reaches Mr. Freeman's walkout basement apartment. Again, the two voices that you will hear are Officer Yao and Mr. Freeman. What Mr. Freeman says is markedly different in tone and content from his interactions with Officer Yao earlier in the day. What Mr. Freeman says, objectively heard, is shocking and hostile and aggressive. And this portion of the video that will replay lasts about 60 seconds.
Ethan, it's Officer Yao. You okay? Ethan, what's going on? Ethan. Hey.
There's feces everywhere. I need you to call the cops, the paramedics, to get me a fucking rescue team right now.
Ethan, it's Officer Yao from Thornton Police.
Yes. Come in here and get me to the hospital.
What's going on?
I have a fucking asshole that's bleeding out like a chicken, and I have a goddamn fucking girl that's full of feces, and I have a dick that's hard, that's not hard.
Do you have any weapons on you right now?
Yeah, let's go.
Hey, what do you got?
My dick in my hand. You got a problem with that, bitch?
Hey, it's Officer Yao, dude. What's going on?
You're a cunt.
Hey, you know me.
Stop my fucking dick.
Hey, you know me, dude. What's going on?
You're a cunt.
Hey, Ethan, drop that.
Fuck you, I'm gonna kill you.
Ethan? Ethan?
Now, this is a still photo taken from the body camera footage just played. On the right here, is the only exterior door to Mr. Freeman's apartment. After the fatal shooting, police entered that apartment, and they had to force their way into that doorway, which had been barricaded from the inside. The apartment's interior was in disarray, and there are items, including broken furniture pieces, strewn about the apartment. The already broken window on the left here is the same window that Mr. Freeman later jumped through before he advanced on Officer Yao. Now, because of the lighting conditions and the angle of the body camera, it is difficult in the video footage to discern Mr. Freeman inside his apartment. But Officer Yao did see Mr. Freeman inside his apartment, and later reported what he saw. Specifically, Officer Yao first saw Mr. Freeman sitting in a recliner with his back to the officer, and then Mr. Freeman got up from the chair and faced the officer. Mr. Freeman was naked, and his head was visibly bleeding. In one hand, he was stroking his penis, and in the other hand, he held a piece of wooden furniture. Mr. Freeman appeared agitated, and he was breathing heavy, and his eyes were wide. At one point, Mr. Freeman moved towards the window from which Officer Yao was watching and bared his teeth at the officer and threatened him. And that is when Officer Yao retreated to the yard. Officer Yao withdrew to this area, which is off to the side of Mr. Freeman's apartment, the front of which is circled here in red. Officer Yao later explained that he remained at this particular position so that he could try to talk to Mr. Freeman in an effort to calm him down, and that he could also see Mr. Freeman if he left his apartment so that he would not lose track of Mr. Freeman. Now, returning to Officer Yao's body camera footage, we'll play from the time of the officer's withdrawal to when Mr. Freeman jumps naked and bloody out of his apartment window. Once again, the two voices that you hear in this clip are Officer Yao and Mr. Freeman. Officer Yao's directive to drop it is referenced to the piece of furniture that he saw Mr. Freeman brandishing inside his apartment. Mr. Freeman then yelled out to the officer, "I'm going to kill you." Mr. Freeman also yelled out, "You're dead. You come back around here, you're dead." At that point, Officer Yao reported on his portable police radio that Mr. Freeman was threatening his life. Officer Yao also pointed his pistol towards the front of Mr. Freeman's apartment, although he was out of sight from what could be seen from inside the apartment, and so Mr. Freeman would have been unable to see that the officer had unholstered his weapon. Officer Yao again identified himself as a police officer and reminded Mr. Freeman that they had seen each other earlier in the day. In response, Mr. Freeman yelled out, "It doesn't matter, I'm coming out there to kill you." Towards the end of this portion of video, you will hear what sounds like broken glass, and also see movement by the front of Mr. Freeman's apartment. And that is Mr. Freeman pushing through that already broken window that I showed you before and jumping through it. Now, this video lasts about 80 seconds. The words that are captioned in the bottom of the video are the words spoken by Mr. Freeman.
Ethan, drop that.
Fuck you, I'm gonna kill you.
Ethan?
You're dead.
Ethan?
You're dead.
Ethan? Thornton 3, he is naked and threatening my life. Ethan? I am the police. You know me.
3, 6, copy that.
I just saw you this morning, dude.
It doesn't matter. I'm coming out there to kill you.
Well, why am I going to prepare my head then?
Come back.
Hey, man.
What's wrong with you, you fucking cunt?
Hey. You don't hear me talking to you like that.
On this one's the road off of 75 Mountain Laurel or
Ethan.
Mountain
Head. I am a cop.
I'm not okay.
Don't be like this, dude.
Okay.
Hey,
okay.
I want to help you.
What? I don't care what you want.
I want to help you. Ethan, come on.
What was the update?
I did call the paramedics.
That he is threatening.
Yeah.
PD.
But they're not going to come over here if you're being like this. Ethan? Ethan?
Where is he?
Ethan, stay in there. Ethan! Stay in there, Ethan! Ethan, stay back! Ethan, stay back!
Well, Mr. Freeman is circled in red here, and he got up immediately after he fell to the ground from his apartment window. The first and only words out of Mr. Freeman's mouth once outside were, "You're dead." Mr. Freeman then headed straight for Officer Yao. In response, Officer Yao repeated earlier directives for Mr. Freeman to remain where he was while also walking backwards away from Mr. Freeman, trying to distance himself from him. As Mr. Freeman advanced, Officer Yao continued to move backwards. He also yelled 5 separate times with his pistol aimed at Mr. Freeman to stay back. Instead, Mr. Freeman, despite a visible limp, continued to advance on Officer Yao's position. At no point did Mr. Freeman pause, slow his pace, or change his direction, which was directly towards Officer Yao. Officer Yao then fired 2 shots from his raised pistol in quick succession. Now we'll replay this portion of video. From the time when Mr. Freeman jumps from his apartment window to when Officer Yao fires is only about 8 seconds.
Stay in there, Ethan! Ethan, stay back! Ethan, stay back! Stay back! Ethan, stay back! Ethan, stay back! Ethan!
Officer Yao estimated Mr. Freeman's distance to him when he fired at between 3 to 5 yards. Using as a frame of reference the ladder in the picture on the right, which here is circled in yellow, and that ladder has a known length of about 13 feet, Mr. Freeman was about 10 feet from Officer Yao. At that distance and continuing at the pace that he had been going, Mr. Freeman would have reached Officer Yao's position in a matter of a few seconds. According to what Officer Yao later reported, when he fired at Mr. Freeman, he did not believe that Mr. Freeman was holding anything in either of his hands. Officer Yao explained why he still believed that his life was in danger despite Mr. Freeman being unarmed. Officer Yao believed that when Mr. Freeman, who he heard had threatened his life, ultimately reached him, he would attempt to take his gun and shoot him with it. Officer Yao also discussed how Mr. Freeman's erratic behavior and elevated state, as well as his openly bleeding wounds, would make it difficult to attempt to restrain him and also caused him to fear that even if he survived that life and death struggle, Mr. Freeman could seriously injure or maim him. Now, in addition to Officer Yao's body camera, the patrol vehicle that he drove to Mr. Freeman's residence in, which again is depicted in the red triangle on this photograph, that police vehicle was equipped with 2 video cameras. Both cameras were operational and running during Officer Yao's encounter with Mr. Freeman. The first of the vehicle photos that we play will last about 3 minutes. Officer Yao is in the center of the photograph. From his exit from the vehicle to the fatal shooting of Mr. Freeman is about 3 minutes long. You will first see Officer Yao walking off camera to the left beyond the blue tarps here. He remains out of view for the majority of this recording. He then returns on camera again to the left beyond these blue tarps, followed by Mr. Freeman. The voices heard while Officer Yao is off camera in this video are radio transmissions from inside his patrol vehicle. Second vehicle footage captures much the same as the first. So for this footage, we'll just play that portion that captures the actual shooting, which is about 8 seconds. The video is also smaller, so we will replay it. This video in particular shows how rapidly Mr. Freeman was advancing on Officer Yao. And we will first see Officer Yao and then Mr. Freeman, and they're both coming again from the left-hand side beyond these blue tarps. If we could play this. Yao is circled in yellow, and Mr. Freeman is circled in red. Officer Yao explained why he did not use any of the less than lethal weapons available to him when Mr. Freeman advanced on him, specifically the taser, the chemical spray, and the baton that he had with him. Officer Yao said that he did not believe that he had time to holster his pistol and arm himself with any of these less than lethal alternatives before Mr. Freeman was on him, which would have left him defenseless. Officer Yao also doubted that any of these options would effectively incapacitate Mr. Freeman. According to Officer Yao, his interactions with Mr. Freeman earlier that day suggested that he might be under the influence of drugs, a belief only reinforced by his highly erratic behavior and agitated demeanor inside his apartment. Moreover, Mr. Freeman exhibited an apparent ability or elevated capacity to endure and ignore pain, having just forced himself through a broken glass window and continue without pause towards the officer despite obvious open and bleeding wounds. The two shots fired by Officer Yao were the only shots fired during the incident. When shot, Mr. Freeman fell to the ground with his arms underneath his body. Officer Yao repeatedly yelled to Mr. Freeman to show his hands because the officer was unsure whether Mr. Freeman had access to broken glass or other items that could be used as a weapon. Once another police officer was able to provide cover for Officer Yao, Officer Yao handcuffed Mr. Freeman and rendered medical assistance to him until paramedics arrived. Shortly thereafter, while his body camera was still running, an audibly shaking Officer Yao is heard telling another officer, "I thought that he was going to kill me." Despite medical treatments, Mr. Freeman died at the scene. Now, as noted earlier, Mr. Freeman's landlord saw the shooting. The landlord watched from a second-story window, which is circled in red on the photograph to the left. That window had an unobstructed view of the encounter at the time beginning when Mr. Freeman left his apartment. The landlord first heard but did not see a verbal exchange between someone he knew to be Mr. Freeman and another person, and that other person turned out to be Officer Yao. The landlord heard Mr. Freeman call the officer derogatory words and otherwise speak aggressively. In contrast, the landlord described the officer as speaking in a cool-headed manner. From that house window, the landlord next saw a police officer on the lawn below with his pistol drawn. The landlord then saw Mr. Freeman, who was naked and bloody, walking from his area of the apartment. The landlord heard Mr. Freeman say several times in substance, "I'm going to kill you." Mr. Freeman was advancing directly on the police officer, who was backing up. Although Mr. Freeman was limping, the landlord saw that he was approaching the officer faster than the officer was able to retreat. The landlord heard the police officer repeatedly order Mr. Freeman back, but Mr. Freeman continued to advance. The officer then shot Mr. Freeman, who fell to the ground. Although the landlord reported that he believed he saw an object in Mr. Freeman's hand when he approached the police officer, that aspect of the landlord's account was mistaken. The autopsy conducted on Mr. Freeman found that Officer Yao had shot him twice. The cause of Mr. Freeman's death were those two gunshot wounds. His manner of death was determined to be a homicide, which is defined as the killing of one person by another. Toxicology testing showed the presence of marijuana, caffeine, and nicotine. Mr. Freeman also had numerous open lacerations to his head and hands, as well as various contusions and abrasions over his body. Now, we have outlined the evidence gathered during the course of this investigation, and the purpose of the investigation has been to determine the legality of the law enforcement use of deadly force against Ethan Freeman. The applicable law is set forth in statute, which is RSA 627.5. And according to that statute, a law enforcement officer is justified in using deadly force only when the officer reasonably believes that such force is necessary to defend himself or herself or a third person from what is reasonably believed to be the imminent use of deadly force. Deadly force, in turn, is also defined by statute. Specifically, deadly force is any assault that a person commits with the purpose of causing or that the person knows can create a substantial risk of causing death or serious bodily injury. Now, although the use or attempted use of a weapon such as a gun or a knife may present the most obvious example of the possible use of deadly force, The law's reference to any assault contemplates that deadly force can arise when no weapons are used or even threatened. The analysis of whether the use of deadly force was lawful requires considering all the facts and circumstances surrounding the incident in question. And what is reasonable is determined by an objective standard. That standard requires viewing a police officer's conduct from the standpoint of a reasonable person who faced the same situation. And that examination cannot be made with the benefit of hindsight after the fact. Additionally, the law accounts for the often fast-moving nature of dangerous situations. Here, about 2.5 minutes total from the first interaction between Mr. Freeman and Officer Yao until the shooting, and also mere seconds from when Mr. Freeman broke out of his apartment to when Officer Yao shot him. And the law also accounts for the need to make decisions in less than ideal circumstances, which, as is reflected in the first-hand account depicted in the body camera footage, were the type of circumstances that Officer Yao faced here. Now, that is a summary of the law that applies in deadly force situations such as this. And after applying the law to the particular facts and circumstances of this case, the Attorney General's office has concluded that Officer Yao's stated belief that he had to use deadly force to protect himself against what he believed to be the imminent use of unlawful and deadly force from Mr. Freeman was reasonable under the circumstances known to Officer Yao when he fired his weapon. Now, the analysis in this particular case begins with and focuses on Officer Yao's stated belief that he did not think that anything was in Mr. Freeman's hands when he shot him. Nor did Officer Yao claim that when he fired on Mr. Freeman, he ever believed that Mr. Freeman was reaching for a weapon of his own. Officer Yao's belief that Mr. Freeman was unarmed, a belief that was accurate, certainly is relevant to the assessment of the reasonableness of Officer Yao's belief that he faced imminent deadly force from Mr. Freeman, and is also relevant to the overall assessment of the lawfulness of Officer Yao's actual use of deadly physical force. But the fact that Mr. Freeman was unarmed does not in itself answer the question as to whether Officer Yao reasonably believed that deadly force by Mr. Freeman was imminent. As noted earlier, deadly force under the justification statute encompasses any assault committed with the purpose of causing or known to create a substantial risk of causing death or serious bodily injury, whether that assault is committed armed or unarmed. The review of whether Mr. Freeman posed such an immediate risk to Officer Yao's safety at the moment when he fired his weapon requires careful scrutiny of all the evidence gathered during the course of this investigation. First, to assess the danger as articulated by Officer Yao, and second, to assess whether Officer Yao's belief was objectively reasonable and rose to that high level that could justify his use of deadly physical force against an unarmed assailant. In analyzing these two separate matters, we are mindful at the very outset that it is unreasonable for anyone, including a law enforcement officer, to use deadly force against someone who is unarmed and not dangerous. Here, it is not claimed that Mr. Freeman was armed or believed to be armed. Thus, the analysis of Officer Yao's use of deadly force must focus on whether Mr. Freeman posed a danger to Officer Yao as set forth by law. And that is, in this case, whether Officer Yao reasonably believed that Mr. Freeman was imminently going to use force against him that could create a substantial risk of either killing the officer or inflicting serious bodily injury on him. Here, at the time when Officer Yao fired his weapon, he believed that he faced such a peril. Moreover, based on all the facts and circumstances of this case, Officer Yao's belief was objectively reasonable. First, Officer Yao explained why at this moment in time, the moment when he fired on Mr. Freeman, he felt that his life was placed in imminent danger by Mr. Freeman. Officer Yao said that he believed that at that time, Mr. Freeman very well could gain control of his gun and use it to kill him, just as Mr. Freeman had said he would do seconds earlier. Officer Yao also believed that even if he were somehow able to subdue Mr. Freeman, which he doubted, he at the very least could be seriously injured by Mr. Freeman, given his violent, erratic, and unpredictable behavior up to that point. Now, Officer Yao's expressed fears are subjective, and they must be closely scrutinized. First, as to whether such fears actually existed and were not concocted after the fact to justify the use of deadly force. And second, whether such fears viewed objectively constituted a reasonable belief that Mr. Freeman posed an immediate risk of causing death or serious bodily injury to Officer Yao. Now here, the contemporaneous recording of events between Officer Yao and Mr. Freeman, the account provided by the sole other eyewitness to the event, and all the other evidence gathered from the investigation supports the conclusion that Officer Yao did reasonably believe that he faced the imminent use of deadly physical force from Mr. Freeman at the time when the officer fired his pistol. Now, in reviewing that evidence, to begin, there was never any prior hostility directed at or animus expressed towards Officer Yao by Mr. Freeman in any of their prior encounters, either earlier that day or before. These prior non-confrontational interactions are important in several respects. First, they explain why Officer Yao proceeded by himself to Mr. Freeman's apartment and why he did not have at the ready his available less than lethal alternatives. The call for aid that brought Officer Yao to Mr. Freeman's apartment was consistent with what Officer Yao had encountered at the school and at the hospital earlier in the day with Mr. Freeman. That is, Mr. Freeman in apparent medical distress. And all prior interactions had always been non-hostile, non-violent, and largely uneventful. There was no reason for Officer Yao to believe that his encounter with Mr. Freeman at his apartment would be any different in kind. But the reality that faced Officer Yao when he reached Mr. Freeman's apartment was unexpectedly and jarringly different. Mr. Freeman was naked and bloody. He was openly masturbating in front of the officer while at the same time brandishing a piece of wooden furniture. Viewed objectively, this was a startling, unusual, and unsettling sight. Mr. Freeman's words also gave Officer Yao legitimate cause to elevate concern for his immediate safety. Mr. Freeman at his apartment from the beginning was openly hostile and combative. And it is important to note here that harsh language and even threatening language in itself typically does not rise to the level of imminent danger, and they do not do so in this case. But Mr. Freeman's words and tone were very different from what Officer Yao had encountered just hours earlier, and they were also accompanied then and later on by threatening and dangerous conduct. Now, in response to Mr. Freeman's open hostility, Officer Yao immediately attempted to defuse the situation and calm Mr. Freeman down. He quickly withdrew several yards from Mr. Freeman's apartment. He also tried to assure Mr. Freeman that he was only there to help and that the requested medical assistance was on the way. But Mr. Freeman did not calm down. Instead, Mr. Freeman directly and repeatedly threatened to kill Officer Yao. Mr. Freeman then engaged in additional and unexpected and extreme behavior, conduct that, as could be seen and heard from Officer Yao on his body camera footage, quickly and reasonably elevated the officer's sense of immediate peril. Mr. Freeman continued to smash out an already broken window. While Officer Yao told Mr. Freeman to stay inside, Mr. Freeman instead, as depicted in this photo, hurled himself out of that window. And there was no rational reason for Mr. Freeman to do so. Mr. Freeman had been told that the medical assistance that he'd been requested was en route. He had been ordered to stay inside. Whether Mr. Freeman was required to obey that directive or not, the manner in which he chose to disregard it was unexpected, it was violent, and it was alarming. As soon as Mr. Freeman jumped outside, he reiterated his threat to kill Officer Yao. And those were the last words that he voiced before being shot. Mr. Freeman also did not stay by his apartment. Instead, Mr. Freeman immediately and directly advanced on the person who he had just threatened to kill, Officer Yao. Officer Yao, in turn, retreated further, walking backwards away from Mr. Freeman in order to avoid confrontation. Officer Yao also screamed at Mr. Freeman 5 separate times to stay back. Mr. Freeman did not, and instead rapidly closed the already short distance between himself and Officer Yao, who again continued to move backwards away from Mr. Freeman. Now, the fact that a private citizen approaches a police officer without more does not justify any physical force, let alone the use of deadly physical force. And that is not what happened here. Mr. Freeman approached despite numerous orders to stay back from someone he knew to be a police officer and had his firearm visibly drawn. Just seconds beforehand, Mr. Freeman had jumped through a window. Immediately after doing so, the first and only words that he said was another point-blank threat to kill Officer Yao. Up to this point, Mr. Freeman had openly engaged in other threatening, extreme, and unanticipated behavior. And Mr. Freeman approached naked and covered what could reasonably be assumed was his own blood. The body camera footage shows that at no point in time did Mr. Freeman pause, slow down, or otherwise indicate any compliance with Officer Yao's repeated directives to stay away. At this moment, and although unarmed, it was reasonable for Officer Yao to believe that Mr. Freeman posed an imminent threat of deadly physical force to him. As can be seen, Mr. Freeman was within seconds of physical contact with Officer Yao, who again is the person who he had just repeatedly threatened to kill. With no other explanation for approaching other than acting on that expressed violent intent. Everything that Mr. Freeman had said and done up to that point in his apartment was consistent with the void threats that he had made to kill Officer Yao. Even if Mr. Freeman did not follow through on his voice threat to kill, any struggle reasonably could constitute his use of deadly physical force against Officer Yao. Mr. Freeman could have injured the officer through various means in that life or death struggle, through the infliction of gunshot wounds, broken bones, or the like. Possibilities that were all the more likely given Mr. Freeman's agitated and erratic state, as well as his words and behavior immediately upon approaching Officer Yao. Under all these circumstances, when they are viewed critically and objectively, and also with the understanding that the events that we have dissected for analysis were happening real time for Officer Yao in seconds, his expressed fears for his safety were his actual beliefs when he used deadly force in firing his weapon. Officer Yao also reasonably believed that such force was necessary to defend himself from what he reasonably believed to be Mr. Freeman's imminent use of force that, although unarmed, created a substantial risk of causing the officer's death or serious physical injury. For all of these reasons, Officer Matthew Yao of the Thornton Police Department was legally justified in using deadly force against Ethan Freeman, and no criminal charges will be filed against him for that use of force. Are there any questions?
Let me first ask about Ethan Freeman. There was some indication early on in your presentation about a mental illness. Can you tell us what his mental illness was? And you were talking about an autopsy and that there were only some marijuana, caffeine, and nicotine. Did the autopsy show a lack of medications that would stabilize it?
So with respect to the mental health aspects, we didn't obtain any records from Mr. Freeman. What we got were anecdotal stories from those who were close to him, such as the landlord who had lived with him for several years and family members. So with respect to the specific nature of his mental illness, we did not get that information. With respect to autopsy findings, there was no findings of any type of mental health type of medication, I think is what you're asking about.
Yeah.
There were no such medications in the system.
You couldn't subpoena medical records to find out what kind of his mental illness that you knew of anecdotally?
Sure. Well, frankly, there's no reason for us to do so when we have corroborated testimony or statements from those who knew him about his mental illness and his history of mental illness. And we have behavior that's consistent with the conduct that they expressed to police officers they had experienced firsthand in the past.
Did he have a job at all?
I'm unsure of that.
Was he living on, like, disability or something?
I don't have that information.
What's his height and weight?
That information is in the autopsy. In the report. I don't have it off the top of my head.
Is it your belief that he did have, that he was suffering from some sort of mental illness?
Well, yes, based on the interviews that the police had with those who knew him the best and spent the most time with him. That was clear from the interviews. In terms of what he had and whether or not it was actually diagnosed, that's a separate issue.
When Officer Yao pulled his sidearm, because it was something that, as you mentioned, we really couldn't make clear on the video that as he was looking into the apartment, Officer Yao says he had some sort of a piece of broken furniture, what looked like broken furniture in his hand. Was it in response to that that Officer Yao pulled his firearm, or, you know, should he have pulled his taser or something else? But is that the reason why he pulled his firearm rather than something else, because he thought that Mr. Freeman was armed with a chair leg or a piece of furniture?
According to Officer Yao, he unholstered his weapon as he wasn't sure if he couldn't recall if it was when he ultimately retreated or as he retreated, but he explained that he did so when he saw Mr. Freeman with that wooden object in his hand kind of walk towards him aggressively at the window and threaten him. At that point is when he drew his firearm. He couldn't remember if it was as he was at his position on the lawn or as he was going to that position.
But he drew his firearm initially in response to seeing Freeman with the piece of furniture.
Yes. For example, he did not have his firearm drawn as he approached the apartment because, frankly, there was no reason for him to do so.
And you found that piece of furniture in the house when you searched it?
I can't say we found that piece of furniture. When police entered the apartment, there are numerous broken pieces of furniture strewn about the apartment, and I think if you look at the photo, you can see what appears to be a round object on the floor, on the ground in front of the window that appears to be a part of a table.
And was that his blood he was covered with?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. We have no reason to believe it was anybody else's blood.
There wasn't a dead animal. There were some dogs. There wasn't like a dead animal in there or anything. Is Officer Yao, how long has he been a police officer?
I don't have that information in front of me. Again, that's in the report. He's been a police officer.
Is he still working at Thornton?
I don't have the answer as to what his status is with the Thornton Police Department. He is still with the Thornton Police Department. I don't know what his duty status is. That is an internal decision. That's not our decision. But his length of service as well as his training is in the report. Unfortunately, I just can't remember that right now.
It's a legal question. I guess the New Hampshire law for New Hampshire is a stand your ground state. Right. If New Hampshire were a retreat, if you can retreat, you could do so. Would that come into play here? Because it looks like Yao could have. He definitely could run faster than a person with a maimed leg.
Sure. So with respect to stand your ground, I'm unsure what that means. That means different things in different states, and that really doesn't have any application to this particular case and the circumstances that we're presented on with in this particular case. So I can't answer your question about the law in New Hampshire in terms of stand your ground. It has no applicability to this or application to this set of circumstances.
The law doesn't require New Hampshire police officers to retreat in the face of potential deadly force.
Right.
Right. Did you ask Officer Yao, well, why didn't you just retreat? The landlord wasn't in danger. You could run faster than.
Sure. The focus of our analysis on whether the use of deadly force was lawful under the standards that we are given, our, and I think Attorney Young stated this at the very beginning, our role here is not to second guess what the officers did. It's whether or not what they did is in conformity with the law. So could Officer Yao have done things differently? You could say that with respect to, unfortunately, any case, whether it involves a police officer or not. That's not our role in this case, and that's not something that we did here.
There is a question on the phone, sir, and it comes from Damian Fisher with In Depth New Hampshire. Damian, do you have a question?
I'm sorry. At this point, I do not.
Okay, thank you.
Is this the first time that you've played such video evidence in a police shooting like this?
No. If you're asking me personally as an assistant attorney general?
No, the office.
No. I can't speak to the office because I am only involved in the investigations that I'm involved in. But, for example, there was a shooting in Ware about a year and a half ago in which the body camera footage was used. There was a shooting in Rochester a couple years ago in which there was not body camera footage, but there was police vehicle footage as well as cell phone footage from bystanders that we used as part of the investigation.
How important was it to have body cam footage in your determination?
Sure. So you're talking specifically this case,
yes,
in general, right? So in this case, it was important because we have Officer Yao who's giving his statement as to what occurred as well as his subjective feelings of fear. The body camera footage objectively shows what he faced when he made the decision to use that deadly use of force. So in this case, I think the body camera footage was helpful to our analysis.
Has your office encouraged all police departments to get body cameras?
Yeah, that's a question I don't know the answer to. That's beyond my role in this particular case.
Are Ethan Freeman's family in New Hampshire?
Generally, I can say yes.
He grew up in New Hampshire.
That I don't know the answer to.
How did they feel about your decision?
Well, I notified his mother before the official results were published. I don't feel comfortable sharing that discussion with her, so I really don't. I cannot answer that question. Seeing no further questions, thank you.